Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Luke chapter 16, the end of the chapter. We're reading the concluding verses of this wonderful parable, for we're drawing to a close our study of it. We're reading, please, from the verse 27. Verse 27. Then he, that's the rich man who is in hell, then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him, that's Lazarus, to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abram saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The Lord bless this reading from his word to all of our hearts. Now, as I said, we've come to the end section of this parable, and it's the conversation that takes place between Abraham and the rich man. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. We are allowed, in these words, in this record, we are allowed to see into the mind, into the heart, of a soul in hell. And what we see within the mind and within the heart of this rich man is what is to be found, basically, in the heart and in the mind of everyone that is in hell at this very moment. The same emotions are at work. The same thoughts are occurring. It was said last night in the gospel meeting, the Reverend Morrow was preaching, and he mentioned this very section of God's word, and he was pointing out how that when you die, you don't cease to be. And he emphasized that by mentioning the fact that here was the rich man thinking, speaking, seeing, hearing, etc. It's a solemn thing, boys and girls. The devil would have the world believe, don't worry about eternity. When you die, that's the end of you. But it's not the end of us. It is not the end of us. We continue on. And if we're lost, we will continue on in hell. If we're not saved, for all eternity, we will be in hell. And that's it's an overwhelming thought to ponder. So, in these words, I want you to consider just what it is that's running through the mind and heart of this rich man. The first thing I want you to observe, and we can learn very much from this, is that the lost soul will, in a sense, finally realize the value of avoiding hell. We're running a gospel mission at the present time. The gospel mission is all about warning men and women of their need of getting saved, their need of fleeing from the wrath to come. And it has to be said that 99% of the people who receive invitations and are told about the mission just don't care. They don't see any value whatsoever in taking time from their usual routine, which in most cases amounts to nothing other than sitting in the front of a television, half asleep. But they don't see there is any value in going to a meeting where the word of God is preached. But they will one day. And I have never spoken to men and women face to face and urged them to consider the word of God, consider their souls, consider eternity, come along and hear the word of God preached. I have never engaged in such a conversation with men and women and listened to their putting the matter off, their rejecting the invitation,
without thinking within my heart.
One day, if you continue in this manner, one day you will remember this conversation, and you will wish with all your being that you had heeded the invitation. That's what this rich man is expressing here in his words. He's realizing that how good it would have been for him if he had listened to the word of God. And here he is thinking of his brethren, because the lost in hell are thinking about those who are still alive. They're conscious of the fact that though they're dead and their souls are in hell, there's family members still alive. And he's thinking about the family members still alive who, like him, while he was alive, don't care anything about the things of God. And he's, well, what word would you use to describe how he feels about this? He said, please, send Lazarus. Send Lazarus from the dead back into the world to my family that they might be told of the dangers they are facing, the place to which they are coming if they do not repent and believe the gospel. Look at his words. That he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. That word testify is a strong word. It's a strong word. It means to earnestly plead. It means to take hold of someone by the lapel and shake them and say, listen to me. He's saying, please, send Lazarus back that he might earnestly plead with my brothers. With my brothers, lest they come to this place of torment. Hell is filled with folk, and I have to say that it's more or less limited to those who have recently come into hell. In other words, Cain, who went to hell and was the first one that we read about who went to hell. Now, Cain's not thinking this because his generation has long gone, and all his acquaintances, his sons' sons, his sons' sons' sons, have long ago died, and if they died without Christ, they went to hell. So I can't imagine that Cain's thinking like this man is thinking. These are the thoughts of someone who has recently come into hell, who has on earth still friends alive. He's anxious about them. Isn't it a terrible thing to think that those who are in hell recognize that they are there simply because they didn't listen to the gospel, and they will be joined in hell by their families and loved ones, sons and daughters, if they don't heed the gospel? Hell is a place not only of awful torment. He was in the flame, the flames of hell, the flames of God's wrath and judgment, but there was a torment of mind and soul that came from the fact that I'm here because I didn't listen to the gospel, and I had, well, he could recount, as can all who are in hell, every moment they had an opportunity. Last night the Reverend Morrow said, you will recall what it is I'm saying now. And I couldn't help but respond to that by saying, amen, that's true. And even as I said that, I thought to myself, and they'll remember me saying, amen. Well, hell is a place of clear memories. You and I here forget, and I know only too well how forgetful you become as you get older and older, until there are huge sections of your experiences in the past, and try as you may, you can't remember them. I have no doubt that those in hell would remember every word spoken by the gospel preacher, by the man or the woman on the street, at their door, who handed them a tract. They'll remember every encounter. They'll remember the thoughts they had as they listened to the gospel and said no. They'll remember it all. If you're not saved now, you will remember in eternity what you're thinking now. It's possible you're not even noticing what it is you're thinking now, but you'll remember it in eternity. You remember it in eternity. So, we see here that the lost soul will in eternity and for all eternity recognize the value of avoiding hell by listening to the gospel and obeying the gospel. But there's something else I want you to notice, and it's important, and that is this. Though this man saw the danger his brothers were in, they were travelling down the same road as he travelled, a road which ended in hell for him, and they were on the same road, and it would bring them to hell. He saw that, but he remains in darkness regarding the truth of God as to how you get saved. Do you see that? Understanding the gospel, boys and girls, is the outworkings of the Holy Ghost within our hearts and minds. The shedding of the light of heaven within our being. That's the only means by which we can understand the gospel and the way to heaven. Nicodemus, when he was told by the Lord Jesus Christ, you must be born again or you won't get to heaven, he said, what does that mean? How can this be so? I don't understand it. That's basically what he said. Couldn't understand. Now, he was a very learned man. He was a graduate of the best Bible college in Jerusalem. But he didn't understand. Saul of Tarsus, you know him, he became Paul the Apostle. Well, he likewise had been a graduate of a great Bible college, but he was in total ignorance of God and of the meaning of the Bible, with which he was very, very acquainted, even when he was unsaved. Paul knew the Old Testament, I can almost say, back to front. Paul could have recited, I'm absolutely sure, he could have recited chapters after chapters of the Old Testament, but he didn't know what it meant, what God was saying in his word. But what happened at the time of his conversion? What was the first thing happened? A light from heaven. A light from heaven. And I want to tell you all, unless there comes to you a light from heaven, a shining of spiritual light into your heart and mind, you'll not understand the gospel. And those in hell, though they have, shall we say, a better knowledge than they did have when they were on earth. Well, on earth they laughed and scoffed at the idea of hell, most likely, but now they know hell is real. So they have a better knowledge. Now they're lost forever, but their minds are still dark regarding the spiritual things of God. He's thinking, you see, and he says, you know, Father Abraham, if you were to send Lazarus back, and even that shows his ignorance, because Abraham couldn't, he didn't have the power to send someone back from the dead, but the rich man was in ignorance of these things. And he's saying, if you would send Lazarus back from the dead to talk to my brothers, well, that would definitely bring about their conversion. And that shows the ignorance he was in. Because let me tell you, boys and girls, if someone were to rise from the grave and stand before this world and tell the truth of God, the world wouldn't believe it. I was tempted, you know, as I was thinking of these things, preparing for the meeting, I was tempted to ask you, what do you think the world would say if someone presented themselves before it and said, I was dead, now brought back from the dead to tell you that the Bible's true, that you need to be saved, the Lord Jesus is the only way of salvation. What do you think the world would say to that? I was tempted to really challenge you about it and hold on and wait for you to give me an answer. But perhaps we just haven't the time today. But what I think the world would say, immediately a man or a woman that God sent back from the dead were that to happen, the answer the world would give would be, I don't believe you are dead. That's what they would say. I don't believe you are dead. In John 9, we read of a man who was blind from his birth. He had never seen. His eyes never worked. And the Lord Jesus came along one day and by his wondrous power healed him and gave him sight. And it was on the Sabbath day that this happened. And of course, the miracle came to the attention of the enemies of Christ and they tackled this man.
And they said, what happened? What happened? Who did this? How did it come about?
And he told them that a man called Jesus is the one that did this. And do you know what their reaction was? We don't believe you were ever blind. That was their reaction. And it's the same spirit that would manifest itself were someone to come back from the dead. We don't believe you were ever dead. You're only telling us a lie. It's a fraud. So that the testimony and the witness of one who were to come back from the dead would be of no value whatsoever. But you see, this is the thinking of this man. Oh, such an event as one coming back from the dead and speaking to my brothers would definitely lead to them repenting. But you'll notice how Abram answered that man. He says to him, look at it please, make sure you're following it in the Bible. Verse 31, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You see, boys and girls, the only message, the only witness that can bring a soul to repentance and faith in Christ is the Word of God. The Word of God. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, that was the Bible in the days of the Savior. The New Testament hadn't come along. I have no doubt that if the Lord were to have this statement repeated today, he would say, if they hear not Moses and the prophets and the apostles. But in the days of the parable, Moses and the prophets, that was the Bible. And if they don't hear the Bible, then there's no repentance. There's no repentance. Men might say, oh, if only an angel were to speak to me. If only one would rise from the dead. I'd listen, but they wouldn't. They wouldn't listen. If they're not persuaded by the mighty Word of God, because you see, boys and girls, the Word of God is accompanied by the strivings of the Holy Ghost. When the Word of God is preached in the power of the Spirit, then it is accompanied by the power of God. And that Word comes to the heart with a power that no other words can come to the heart with. As Christians, when we are supporting a gospel mission, as we are at the present time, and we hear the gospel preached, but there's no response, we don't despair. We ought not to despair, because the word that has been preached, falling on the heart, God will be pleased to stir the heart by it, make the word live in the heart. There was a man living in England back in the 1600s, and he had the privilege as a young lad, a teenager, of listening to John Flavel, one who I believe is the sweetest of Puritan, and he sat under his preaching. But then as a young man, he set sail for America, and he settled in America, farmed, had a family, grew up, grew old. He had a good life, a long life, and a healthy life. And even at 80 odd, he was still a strong, healthy man. And he was out ploughing one day in his 80s. Out ploughing. I can't imagine me being able to do that, if I ever reach that number. But he was out ploughing. And as he was ploughing, back to his mind came what he had heard all those years ago. 60 years ago at least, in an English church, under the preaching of a great saint of God who had gone to heaven many years before. But the word he had preached was still alive, and God made it to work in that man's heart, and that man got saved through what he had heard 60 odd years before. Do you know that archaeologists have entered into ancient tombs that are thousands of years old, and found in the tombs not just the body or the remains of people who were buried there, but little earthen jars containing various things, and one of the things that was contained was seed. And when they took some of those seeds and planted them, they grew thousands of years old, but they still had life. Now, if a barley seed or a wheat seed can do that, how much more the seed of God? That's the only means of salvation, boys and girls. The word of an angel, the word of a dead person resurrected, that will not produce repentance. Only this word. Could I tell you what Peter said? And we'll close with this. 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse 23. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. He says to the people to whom he's writing, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That man in hell was still in darkness regarding the truth concerning the gospel. He was thinking foolish thoughts as he thought kindly about his brothers. Oh, boys and girls, you hold in your hand at this moment that which alone can produce eternal salvation in your heart. May God be pleased to plant it deep and make it to grow in your soul and bear fruit in your life. Let's bow in prayer. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we pray for your blessing upon what has been said, because my saying of it, Lord, will produce nothing, but Lord, your blessing of your own word will produce life, life eternal. God, save the boys and the girls here, and saving them, lead them on with thee, I pray. And from the ranks of the little school here, may there arise those who will bear great witness for thy name in future days. Bless the teachers today. Bless Julia in the exam room, we pray. Even now, Lord, bring to her mind those things that she has studied. Oh, provide for our school in every way. And bless the mission tonight, Lord. Bless the mission again tonight. And those who are troubled, God, even at this moment, have mercy upon them. May they be saved. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.